It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank. Focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
I am a broken record.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I feel like I'm saying the same thing every day now. Today, overseas stock markets dropped like a rock. Japan's Nikkei closed down nearly 2% to its lowest level since November. In Hong Kong, shares fell almost 4%. Throughout Europe, the markets are off by a couple percent as well. Once again, things went south on Wall Street yesterday. Mortgage lender Countrywide was the biggest troublemaker. Its shares dropped 13%. That was Countrywide's biggest one-day plunge since the 1987 market crash. The Dow fell 167 points below 13,000 to 12,861. The Nasdaq fell 40 points. The S&P 500 lost almost 20 to 1406. And that wiped out all the gains this year for the S&P. The problems in the credit market aren't limited to mortgage companies. A deal to buy the student loan corporation Sallie Mae is in trouble. Yesterday, Sallie Mae shareholders accepted a $25 billion offer from a group of banks and private equity firms, but those buyers aren't sure they can go through with the deal. And private equity deals may face another opposition, labor unions. John Dimsdale has more from Washington.
Andy Stern, the president of the Service Employees International Union, says private equity buyouts have not been good for American workers.
We have not found one worker who's received health care as a result of the buyouts. We have not seen one worker who's gotten a raise as a result of the buyouts, despite the billions of dollars in profits and fees that have been taken out of these companies.
Stern says private equity takeovers have resulted in 10,000 layoffs. But lawyer Robert Profusek at Jones Day says private equity is revitalizing struggling companies. Take Cerberus Capital's purchase of Chrysler.
Who is the biggest supporter of Cerberus at Chrysler? Answer, the UAW.
Auto workers, he says, recognize Cerberus is saving their jobs. But the credit crunch may already be trimming private equity sales. Lenders demanding higher premiums are forcing firms to rethink their corporate buying binge. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Yet another casualty of the clampdown on credit, Hollywood. Goldman Sachs and Deutsche Bank were working on a deal with MGM to finance movies up to $1 billion worth. They were talking about backing a new Terminator film and maybe the next James Bond flick. But the Financial Times reports the banks have pulled out.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com.
Today, a new case of counterfeit products coming out of China. This time, we're talking about a fake version of an at-home diabetes test made by Johnson & Johnson. Millions of Americans use it. Our correspondent in Shanghai, Scott Tong, joins us now. Scott, so as I understand it, Johnson & Johnson launched their own investigation on this?
Well, I believe drug companies often hire private investigators to look into these things. And the trail, a lot of this is according to reporting by the Bloomberg News Service, is that Johnson & Johnson hired investigators who looked into the pharmacies where some of these suspicious strips were sold, which led them back to the wholesalers, which led them to the importers, which led them to Canada, and eventually back to a company that is advertised as being based in Shanghai.
Scott, how big of a problem are counterfeit drugs coming out of China?
The World Trade Organization has tallied the cost of fake medicines at $32 billion. That's a global business. Much of that is suspected of being in the developing world and particularly in China. Domestically here in China, there are frequently reports of substandard or fake antibiotics that are not as advertised, so they don't necessarily harm you, but they don't help you the way they're supposed to help you. To China's credit, the laws have improved. The problem is that it's very hard to get into every province in China and to crack down on these things.
What's been the response from drug companies like Johnson & Johnson in the past to this issue of counterfeit drugs?
Well, the drug companies have hired a lot of investigators in China. It's quite a business here to be hired by a foreign multinational company to look at the knockoff industry in China. Some of the critics of the drug companies say that these drug companies, because they don't want the bad PR of being associated with the fake medicine, that they're not straight with the American public about what they're investigating, the level or the fear that the companies have of counterfeits being around the world.
And has this case been wrapped up? Is that the end of this one?
Where we are is the man whose name is attached to the company has been arrested by Chinese authorities. He's in prison in China, and he's awaiting a court decision in Shanghai.
All right, Scott Tong, our correspondent in Shanghai, thanks for joining us.
Okay, Scott, thank you.
30 years ago today, Elvis Presley died. The king is still making out pretty well. His estate still takes in over $40 million a year from merchandising. But as Ren Eli reports, people who run the Elvis business are looking for more.
Robert Sillerman collects most of that Elvis licensing money. His company, CKX, paid over $100 million for an 85% stake in Elvis Enterprises 2 years ago. Elvis is still all over TV, the radio, fashion, and art. Brand consultant Peter Montoya.
Elvis's brand is being exposed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, somewhere in the world.
Montoya says in Elvis, Sillerman bought a marketer's dream.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Sillerman's master plan? An Elvis-themed hotel and casino on Las Vegas Boulevard, an Elvis Cirque du Soleil show, and a $250 million facelift for Graceland. Within a decade, CKX sees Elvis tripling his take to $150 million a year. Next, could be Heartbreak Hotel in Japan. It's got more Elvis fan clubs than any other country. In Washington, I'm Ren Elhai for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
You know I can be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please tell the phone. Don't be cruel.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.